like to call to order the regular meeting of the Water Wastewater Committee of the Town of Discovery Bay. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call to take it. Let the record show all members are present.
Awesome. This is the moment where we ask for public comment. Is there anybody online?
There is, but there are no hands raised.
Okay, then I will close public comment and entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
Make a motion to accept
and
the meeting minutes.
Second that, and therefore carry it. And now we'll move on to discussion items. We quickly got to discussion items. We may not quickly get to discussion items.
You won't get through.
E1, let's talk about Sandpoint pipeline replacement. Who's going to talk to me about that?
Jason.
Jason, are you online?
I'm here. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you
yes.
loud and clear.
Great.
So,
all right. Go ahead.
Well, we don't have your picture, your handsome face on the screen. Are we supposed to have that?
No,
we have a presentation. I don't have it here, though. Wait 1 minute, Jason.
Sure.
Or unless it's here. Is it here? Okay, we're good to go. You're on.
Can you see my camera now?
We don't need to.
Perhaps?
I remember you from a week ago. We don't need to.
Okay. Well, thank you, Director Graves and President Graham. So I'm here to discuss the scope of the project, the reason for this project, the purpose it serves. Basically, what we have here is a section of the water distribution system that is really critical for water conveyance throughout the surrounding area. This is a corridor between the intersection of Discovery Bay Boulevard and Sandpoint Road, all the way over to the west, across down Sandpoint Road, across the Delta crossing there, to the Newport Court site. And all of this existing pipe is 8-inch asbestos cement type pipe. It's 8-inch in diameter. It's undersized for this area, given the location of the two water treatment plants, Newport and Discovery Bay, which are located here, Newport on the west, and then the Willow plant is on the east. So this serves as, I guess, what can best be described as an arterial main here. We want to try to facilitate water to move one direction or the other should one plant be offline, whether scheduled or not. And the other purpose that this project serves is to replace just a small amount of the AC pipe that exists in this area. So the project scope will consist of replacing this line with 12-inch PVC plastic pipe. It's about 3,300 feet in the main corridor of Sandpoint Road. We'll be tying into the existing main at the intersection there to the east. And then installing new pipeline open cut trench construction to the end of Sandpoint. And then from Sandpoint, we'll be conducting horizontal directional drilling to install a jointless HDPE section underneath the Delta. And this will be replacing the existing 8-inch ductile iron line. I believe it's ductile iron that's already under there, under that underwater crossing.
Yeah.
There will be excavation pits on both ends to facilitate that HDD work. And we're hoping to get the design phase work started with the board's approval. Later here, June, August, July, in that period, getting approval here. So I'll just stop there for now. There's quite a bit of information here.
Okay.
Happy to take questions.
I got a couple questions, Jason.
Sure.
And these are, call me Mr. Obvious, but originally that was put in as 8-inch pipeline. There was no Newport Point water treatment plant. It's put in by the original contractors because nobody ever expected us to have to connect to further and to make that water source reliable, correct?
Yeah, I believe this line went in at the time that there was no development in the northwest section of town.
Right.
Newport wasn't online, so this was not, at the time, a central or arterial line
it
is now.
Got it. I just wanted to get that on the record. And then secondly, because I'm a curious guy, why do you run a different type of pipe under the water? I know there's a good reason. Under the water than you do in the land. That's why are we doing PVC to the connection, and then the underwater connection is HDPE, and what are the differences in those two products?
Yes, that's a great question, actually. So PVC comes normally in 20-foot sticks with bell and gasket joints, and those bell and gasket joints are usually push-in joints, and you have to have, you know, an open area to assemble piece by piece, 20-foot section at a time, PVC pipe, whereas HDPE is a pipe that doesn't have any joints, and you can fabricate it or you fuse it there above the ground and then pull it through under the channel. You can't do that with PVC material. But it's very specialized. It's a lot harder to control the specialized machines to fuse PVC and have jointless PVC, but it's just much more highly specialized, and it's much more common to pull HDPE pipe for underwater crossings like this.
Thank you. All right, that's all. Do you have any questions about that particular?
No,
pipe
I just have a comment, and I already talked to Aaron about this, and it talks about Newport Corp. That's actually Newport Lane, and I just wouldn't want this to go out and people get confused about it.
Yeah, I refer to that. That's a question or clarification too. I'm referring to Newport Corp only because I've seen reference to it for this cul-de-sac here, President Graham. So sorry for the confusion.
I think Newport Lane runs all the way to the end of the cul-de-sac. It's all one street.
Yeah.
Down to here, okay.
So
I've seen other names from other, you know, maps.
Newport Corp is on the kind of a mile or two from there.
Newport Court, I think, is down.
Exactly.
Yeah, Newport Court's a whole different street that comes off of Newport. Just for clarification, we don't want to confuse people.
Sure. No, thank you. I'll note that going forward.
And then anything else on that particular part of it, Carolyn?
No.
I imagine you have more. Jason?
Well, that's for this project. I think that's a pretty comprehensive, pretty high level, actually, description of this project.
Encompasses
this project area. Yeah, go ahead.
Length of time for completion, estimated?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so like I said, we hope we can get started here July-ish or, you know, whenever we get approval. We can hit the ground running and have design plans completed, I would estimate, on the order of 2 or 3 months. I think there's a schedule up here.
Yeah, there is.
So we have to wait for CEQA here, which is 4 months. And then right away procurement, another 4 months. But the design work itself is not, won't take that long. We're primarily waiting for CEQA and easement, development of a new easement. There is a small amount of this crossing that will not fall within an existing easement that we'll have to secure on this end of the underwater crossing. We have everyone lined up to take care of that. Our surveyor, Hillright Legal and Development Easement. So that's what the right-of-way procurement is. This could be a lot less depending on how, the negotiations, well, not really negotiations, but discussions with the property owner and agreement to allow for that easement. We don't anticipate any hurdles there to get that small triangle of an easement, but that's involved. And then the construction itself shouldn't take more than 4 to 5 months, we're estimating, and I think that's conservative as well. So we're giving ourselves a lot of time. I would anticipate this whole project is wrapped up sometime by this time next year, if not a little bit later. Like we have 18 months, but I'm being optimistic. I'm hoping
it's like 11 months before you ever start the construction. Yeah, that's fine. At what point does this go to the board? Next meeting. Okay. I don't have any further questions.
No.
This has been coming for a couple of years, and it'll be good to start getting some reliable pipes in the ground so we're, you know, being proactive with regards to what's there and what. Well, I don't even think about what could happen. All right. Is that it for round one? Jason? I
believe so.
Hey, Jason.
Any questions, you have my email.
No,
or call me.
Appreciate your coming on in and explaining that. It was very concise.
Absolutely.
Well, is there anybody in the that has any comments?
There's a hand raised online.
Okay, hold on, Jason. Don't go anywhere. Just in case I need clarification on something, although I'm not supposed to. But what do we have online for a public comment? Hello.
Actually, it's Mike Hiraka. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mike.
Hey, it's Mike Hiraka.
Hey, Mike.
Thanks. Actually, that was a really good background presentation by Jason. But the main reason this item is on the agenda for you is for the scope of work for Little Orphan San Marino. And so that's also included in this package of $427,000. Mm-hmm. So, and again, as Jason mentioned, included in there is the CEQA activities, project coordination, pipeline design, bidding assistance, engineering services during construction, and some contingency. So that'll be the action item for the board at the next meeting. So just to make you aware of all that. And that scope of work is included in your agenda package as well.
Is there any to secure that easement, do we have any legal fees that we think we're going to incur or no?
Well, the reason I put some legal in there is we haven't even approached the property owner yet for the easement. We may need to have an appraisal performed. There may be some of Andy's time. Let's hope it doesn't go to eminent domain. But that's why I put the money in there for an anticipation of any potential right-of-way expenses, just to cover us in the budget, that's all.
What's the square footage of easement that we're looking at and needing over there?
Oh,
there's actually two easements, right, Jason? One from RD and one from
already.
Yes, there's the main easement will stay within the main, I believe it's 10-foot wide corridor. I'd have to pull up the drawing, but we're going to be largely utilizing the existing easement, and then they're given, or to facilitate the HDD construction, there's a minimum bending radius, and we're not able to fit the new HDPE line within that bending radius within the corridor of the easement. So that's why we need an additional area of the easement on the east side of this crossing. And that's what we'll be developing. We'll be developing a legal description and drafting that all up for approval.
Got it. Okay.
But it's pretty small. Yeah, what do you think? Like,
it's hard to say.
Like maybe 500 square feet?
Yeah.
But somewhere, we're not talking thousands of square feet, right. So.
Well,
I would agree with that.
Yeah, the lots over there are only about 6,000 square feet, so I imagine we're not taking up too much space.
No, it's a very small lot.
I'm thinking maybe another 10 by 10 or 20 by 10 or something like that.
It's 7 foot wide at its widest point, what we're estimating at this point.
It just has to get outside of our current easement area because of the we have to force that pipe in through that lateral drilling.
Correct? A radius, yeah. So from this pit here on the east side of this cul-de-sac, we have to start a bend immediately, and we can't bend it tight enough to land within the existing easement corridor. So that's why we want to have this section here, additional section for that radius.
All right, sounds good. Mike, do you have anything more for us?
No, just want to make sure you're aware that was the main point of this discussion for the agenda.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
For being on the line. Appreciate it very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll fix the staff report for the next meeting for that Newport Lane versus Newport Court, so thank you for that.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay,
bye.
Item two is going to be our favorite subject matter for the next few months, if not years. At this point, will turn it over to Aaron.
Program to help us form programs and manage the state. state, and it would lay the guidelines of what it would, that meets all the state requirements, hazard assessments, property protection, stuff like that. We reached out to three, we got two proposals back, SoCal Water and HydroCorp. HydroCorp, unfortunately, was able to make it today to give their presentation, but in the staff report, you can see that the two costs between the two companies. The whole purpose of the cost connection policy is to protect the drinking water system from the contaminants and the pollutants that are out there. And it's something that's required by the state. We got to have a program submitted by July 1st, 2025. So in the two proposals, there's a pretty big cost difference. For SoCal Water, you're looking at $148,000 for the first year, with a total of $462,000 for a total of 3 years. With HydroCorp, the first year is $72,000, and for a total of 3 years, you're looking at $227,000. Inside both of their scopes, it pretty much meets the same standards. They would write you the cross connection policy program. They would do the hazard assessments, reassessments, identify what cross connection device you would need at the premise. They would help enforce with the enforcement and corrective actions. It includes backflow prevent assembly requirements and test tracking. They would also do public awareness, so basically let the public and the city know, or the residents know what they need, why this is important, you know, take their phone calls and stuff like that, and plus record keeping and tracking all of that. So for every device that's installed, you have to keep a record for, I think, 7 years, and they have to be tested annually once a year. We do that already with all the commercials and all the parks, but this is expanding that program to basically the residentials that require some have the device. Right now we're looking at a 10-year to do a full hazard assessment of the entire city. That puts it to about 730 homes a year. The math on that doesn't quite add up, and the reason why is because you have reassessments, right? So if we have 6,100 connections, you think it would take 610 homes to do a year. Well, once you do an assessment and you find out it needs a backflow, within a year you might have to go back to that site to do another hazard assessment.
There's not 6,100 homes that are going to be affected by this legislation. There's 6,300 homes in the entire town, and a lot of them are not.
When it's completed, yes. Right now there's 6,100.
So every single home has to be assessed.
See,
whether or not it's connected to a water device or not?
Yep.
Yes.
What the hell? How come?
No, I know, and I was under the same impression you were that this...
Every public water connection has to have a hazard assessment. Now, depending on that type of hazard assessment is determined on the type of, are you a house on deep water? Are you a house that's connected to a septic tank? Do you have a well on your site? Now, a lot of these don't apply to
us. even if they have a pool, they've already been county mandated to do this, correct?
Under Title 17, correct.
So why do you have to inspect homes that don't have any risk?
And yeah, they're not on the water.
The state's making the public water utility system.
So you're telling me that Castro Valley has to go through every house in Castro Valley has to be checked, even though they're not nowhere near any waterways?
Correct.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Now,
I'm going to go back to Tennessee and look for land.
Yeah.
Now,
the state
there's a couple different ways you can do a hazard assessment. So, if your property is on the water, I can do a Google Earth image, and I'm sure the cross-connection specialist is going to do the same thing, and they're going to say, you have a secondary water source on your property. A physical site hazard assessment is required. Now, for, let's say, the majority of the lakes and the lakeshore and the Gulf
How about
course,
if somebody refuses to let you in their backyard?
Then I believe that's when the enforcement comes in. You have X amount of days to comply, or we shut the water off. That's
so
a suggestion.
So, I'm sorry, but houses that aren't on the water, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to do Google Earth and say, okay, none of these houses, they're...
So, for example, the homes that are on the water, you can do a Google Earth image,
mm-hmm.
and you can see there's an actual physical hazard assessment that's required. Now, for the other homes, like lakes, lakeshore, golf course, It may be as simple as doing a mail. You get something in the mail that says, please check off, do you have a secondary water source? Do you have a pool or a pond? Or do you have
Country Club's a good example, because there's probably a third that are on water and two-thirds that aren't on water because of the lake system that they have in there for the golf
course. But the way the state looks at it is, it has to be a joining parcel of water. So the home's on the delta.
Oh, there's not a joining.
No.
On the golf course, you have golf course between the lake and the house, right? So it's not a physical house.
I
got you.
I have another question, though. Are they going to allow us, if they're giving us the authority to enforce the, at the very minimum, the assessment, if not the installation also probably, do they also give us the authority to make the assessment?
What do you mean make the assessment?
Well, do we have to pay somebody to make the assessment, or can we self-assess? Can our staff go out and look at everybody's home?
We don't want to do
yes.
that. Yes, we can, but...
We can. I would have to do 2,400 homes to 7,000 homes within 10 years. Now, I'd have to keep record of that, and I'd be a full-time job.
No, yeah.
It
makes total sense to
yeah,
hire somebody,
if,
yes.
I'd have to
absolutely.
Hire that out. That's probably another two and a half mm-hmm. staff members. And you're taking on all the responsibility there as well.
How many homes a year are you talking about hitting?
About... If you do just total first assessment, 6,100.
And it has to be done in 3 years?
10 years.
It has to be done in 10 years.
We're writing the program for 10 years to complete
okay.
the entire hazard assessment in 10 years.
We are writing the program for 10 years. The state might not accept that. So, but we're following what every other surrounding agency is doing and doing the 10 years.
So that's 2.5 in the day. If you hired somebody full time, that's about 2.5 times, 2.5 houses a day that they have to go inspect.
And that's
got to be one. I mean, I don't.
And you have to.
They have to be backflow specialists, so I have to send them training and classes, and then they are responsible, legally responsible, if they
misassess.
Yes.
Yeah, the enforcement corrective actions.
Okay. So then
you're scheduling that on the homeowner.
So is this? Is this 3-year plan, is it 3 times this amount of money then?
You know, that's how much it costs. That's just the scope of what it would cost in 3 years. It could be a 3-year contract, 5-year contract, but the plan is still 10 years.
Yeah, but you're saying that, that from what I understand, you're doing about a third every 3 years. And you're giving me a price of $227 for 3 years, so that's multiplied times at least 3.
Right.
And... That's just our cost. It has nothing to do with the devices or the installation.
That is the cost for this to subcontract this. That has nothing to do with the installation of backflows, the cost of installation, maintaining,
it's
preparing.
Basically creating another department. Every agency has to either create another department or outsource it. So.
Okay, and so at the end of the 3 years, so this company's done, they've done all the things.
They're done with a third of the town.
They can do a 5-year contract. That's just a 3-year snapshot of what it would cost. They can do a 10-year contract. That's just giving you an idea of what it would cost.
Does
it benefit us to get it done in 3-year period as compared to a 10-year? I have no idea. That's why I'm asking.
The thing is if you write a three-year period, the state's going to hold you to that.
You're bound
by it.
You
have to do it within 3 years. So that's why you do a 10-year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow-moving project or program.
Mm-hmm.
And then when 2 years is up, guess what? You got to do a reassessment again.
Is this going to turn into the Golden Gate Bridge, so when you're done, you got to start all over again?
Yes. You're always reevaluating, always reassessing with this program.
How long is your assessment good for? How often do you have to reassess?
Probably 10 years, but unless there's major changes done to that property.
Pretty vague. There's a lot of gray
in that.
If you read the
cross-connection policy,
put in there, the whole policy from the state, it's very gray.
They don't know what they're asking for. Okay, go on.
So,
what else you got?
That's it. So with those two prices, what I'd like to do is bring HydroCorp.
I would love to have them come in here so we can ask them questions.
Yeah, that would be
and
great.
not that we don't trust your knowledge and authority, but I would love to bombard, I'd rather bombard them the questions than you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it.
About,
I can't speak for HydroCorp, but it's the answers I've given you is going to be the same from them.
And they're willing to do this because they're bidding the job. They want the work, and so therefore they'll come in.
I've reached out. There's two companies that are doing this as a subcontractor, SoCal Water and HydroCorp.
Well,
KG, I would love to get all their
KG Enterprises might be doing this real quick, real soon. I'm not sure.
Are you hiring?
I did the same joke. She was in the meeting.
Oh.
I've already got a superintendent in mind. Thank you,
Oh, wow. And now I laughed and I forgot what my question was. It'll be back. Funding. For the whole thing.
So this amount of money we put about $150,000 with an escalator into the budget for this program. Funding for the backflow devices, that one is going to be on the homeowner.
$150,000 a year, every year was part of our finance presentation that we got for the rate study.
Correct.
Okay.
We didn't know what we
did. That's fine because it's over what your yearly costs are.
It is, right.
Yeah, and then the homeowner will pay, and how will they, is there going to be an assessment, are they going to get a bill, are they?
We haven't gotten there yet. We're just writing a plan right now. So as we move through that plan, that'll be part
of what we are going to rely on our consultants to tell us the best way to move forward with that. Being a layperson and not understanding that, I would think for the town, the best thing to do is to lay the entire responsibility of installation and testing upon completion to the homeowner, and then submitting those results to us for our report. That would be the best for us. But you know, I went through three different what I thought was the best for the water meters too. So I'm not saying it's the best idea.
Yeah, there's drawbacks and there's benefits to doing either way, and it's really up to what the town's going to want to do. If you put a backflow right after the meter, you're reducing water pressure by about 15 psi. The town has the ability to test it, maintain it if they own it. If you put it on the homeowner, they can put it at the source of cross-connection point, and it's only affecting that
spigot
cross-connection where it's eliminating
instead of their whole house
losing its pressure.
Yeah.
But now you're dealing with more mailers to get them to test it.
Our water's already pressure's already okay.
It's not 60 psi, it's not bad. 56, 60 psi.
Depends on that. Depends on which shower head you got.
Well, 45 psi developers. 40 psi developers.
I imported from Idaho. Anyway.
So what I'd like to do is I'd like to bring this back, bring it to a board meeting to have HydroCorp give the presentation and hopefully answer all the questions.
Yeah, my understanding was that we were hoping to have somebody from HydroCorp here today, but there was an emergency that didn't allow that to happen. I think that's probably a good thing, because now the shock factor has hit us, and now we won't be quite maybe as surprised, or it'll give us a chance to think about it. And I would like to try to get that person in here as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the deadline that we have to have this, our proposed plan to the state?
July 1st, 2025. I'm already sending
July 1st, 2025.
Yeah, 2 months. 3 months.
Are they prepared to put together a plan that quickly?
Yeah, I already have a cross-connection policy plan written, most of it.
So we submit that. If they don't like it, they kick it back, and you just buy yourself more time, and we work
right.
under that theory. Yeah, we're trying to avoid anything, but we just don't know what they want at this point.
Of course not.
Yeah, I'm going to submit a request.
We aim to please.
Yeah, that's for extension, but I mean...
Well, so you're prepared to meet that deadline no matter what happens with HydroCorp at this point?
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. Sounds...
That's good.
Freaking awesome.
That's good.
You got anything more for us? Any other fun stuff?
No.
No? Okay.
Just one that keeps hitting.
No, I appreciate it. I'm going to go back to the agenda, and I'm going to look and see that we have nothing further. Except future discussion items. I will, out of courtesy for our contractor being here. Anthony, do you have anything you want to add or discuss? Did it sound like we're as have as much knowledge as we can have at this point?
Sure. A couple of points. Veolia did look at some of our other water systems across the state and tried to help Aaron help the town come up with the right plan. We really think that what they're doing is for the best. It is all about what you commit to the state, and when you send it, that's what they're going to hold you to. They're absolutely right about that. The other thing, when you're addressing to the rest of the public, be careful not to hone in on waterfront. Waterfront is only one of the concerns for cross connection. The entire cross connection control plan is all about any potential risk of the public water system. So it could be somebody got a ranch and they leave a horse, guard hose and horse trough and that kind of thing, right? It could back siphonage into the plant, get it wasted, or get it into the water system. So waterfront properties is a high priority target, things like that. But so is a junkyard, so is a gas station. So
sure.
Sometimes that's helpful when you see, well, I don't have front.
Yeah, so they're like you're singling them out.
Exactly. So it's not just that, but because of Discovery Bay and waterfront, that is the high priority areas.
So you guys are doing water systems all over the state, all over the country, but all over the state for this purpose. And so you're having these challenges at every one of your...
Every one of them is fighting the same challenge. It's not public property, it's private property and things unless they choose to put them. Either got lucky enough and they bought meters that had backflow prevention before it, and that was built in as one, or the problem is a lot of systems bought into those and it's not an RPC. And it's a double check or atmospheric or whatever the case may be, and they still have to change. So in the Discovery Bay's case, you haven't bit that bullet yet. So this is really is a good approach.
Have you come across any of your communities that have just said, we're not doing it?
They can't say they're not doing it because that's just going to bring pressure. We have had a lot of communities that are straight up going to the state saying, we need more time to really about another year for the plan itself so that they can do it right. However, you can't just go to the state and say, I need more time. You have to have a justifiable reason why you need more time for a plan.
You can't get a class action. You can't get the CSDA involved or something and try to come together as a group and say, hey, these unfunded mandates just aren't reasonable for small communities?
Some of the counties and stuff are trying that kind of thing, but no success yet. So not
hit the usual
yeah.
But we don't care.
And the reason
we didn't know what we were doing when we did it, and we don't care to change it.
And keep in mind the reason of that handbook just got approved last year, and it's very vague because based on these assessments, just like LSLI assessment, it's a subject to change based on the priorities and hazards it finds throughout the state. So that's why it's open-ended like that.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Anything you want, any future agenda items other than what staff comes up with? Then I guess we'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.